Welcome to episode 57 of Pod Your Own Adventure. Today's episode, It Came From the Internet by R.L. Stine. Hello and welcome back to Pod Your Own Adventure. I'm your host, and an interesting fact about me is that I am going to be changing my name. I'm no longer Tom, and I'm now going to be calling myself Robin. It's a big, complicated thing. Essentially, I've never really felt too attached to my name, Tom, because it always sounds like either a colonel from the 30s, or possibly a tunnel leading out of a German prisoner of war camp. So there we go, that's a new thing, my name's Robin. My guest today is, well, a very special guest that we should all be privileged to meet. It's the royal baby, John Blythe. Hello.
Ooh, I'm chuckling with joy to be here today.
How are you? I mean, because of you being born, of course, Tower Bridge has changed its colour. It's now been painted pink, and it's going to stand like that for another 30 years, so...
Was that me? Did they do that for me? I didn't get invited.
Oh, royal baby.
Oh. And by the way, I only know one other person who's changed their name.
All right.
Actually, and they also changed it to Robin.
Yeah.
So, I like, fair play.
I like Robin because it's a gender-neutral name.
Absolutely. I think that's why he chose it, and he does still identify as he, so I'm not being rude by saying he.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not, nice name.
Thank you.
They lay some of the most... Well, they lay the eggs that have the most colours named after them. What am I talking about, Robin?
This is our first time we've recorded over Skype together, log, isn't it? So
that was going to be my interesting fact about myself.
Sorry, I harpooned it.
No, fine. If this is terrible, it's because I can't see your face and I don't know whether you're scowling at the terrible and probably weak things I'm saying. So, yes, I'm just going to imagine you sitting there impassively frowning with your arms folded throughout this.
I mean, I usually will just exist in a state of rolling my head back and cackling. But I've also got one of those faces. I think I just spend too much time looking at the sun, and I've got like wrinkles on my forehead from where I frown too much. So, who even knows?
You're perfectly lovely.
Oh, thank
Robin.
You.
Robin. I'm getting used to this. Robin. It's nice. It's a nice name.
Thank you. So... if this is your first time listening to this podcast, then what we do is every week I get a different guest on and we read through a different multiple path game book. Today we are reading through a Give Yourself Goosebumps book by R.L. Stine. This one's got a big spider on the front cover of it. Long-time listeners of the show may be a bit familiar with this one. This is a complicated thing. Let's jump into it on page one then, shall we, Log?
Go for it.
Okay. Tell me again, your best friend Mark demands. You saw what on your computer screen? The hairs on the back of your neck prickle just thinking about it. A bump, you answer. A weird squirming bump. It snuck out of the monitor, moved around like it was alive. Right, Mark rolls his eyes. You're out of your mind. Mark talks tough, but you've known him since you were little. You're used to it. It's true, you insist. And totally weird. Come on, see for yourself. You slam the front door. Mark is already halfway up the stairs to your room when you catch up with him. You turn on the computer and sit at your desk. With a couple of double clicks in your password, you log on to the internet.
Oh, this has got all the terminology. Double clicks.
Logging on.
Yeah.
The internet.
Can we check the copyright date of this book? Is it 1991?
99, actually.
99?
Yeah.
My God. The internet was... surely the internet was proper by then. There was HTML and everything.
Yeah, like, R.L. Stine really should have known better at this point. With a couple, of double clicks in your password, you log on to the internet. Okay, be prepared, you warn him. It's pretty creepy. Like I care, Mark scoffs. A moment later, a message pops up on your screen. A message in a little black box. Mark's mouth drops open as he reads it. The message on your screen says, experiencing violent virus. Need help to avoid fatal error. Oh man, Mark groans. You've got a virus. What's that, you ask? You don't know what a computer virus is? Mark stares you in disbelief. It's a program that gets into your computer and messes everything up. It can fry your whole hard drive. You don't like the sound of that. You mean it could erase all my games and files and stuff? Yup, Mark says. Everything would just be... gone. So the thing here is...
Wow. This is certainly playing into my modern fears.
This obviously, in the days before digital distribution, where we didn't have our online content marketplaces, erasing all your games meant you couldn't just click a few buttons and download them all again. That meant you had to get boxes and CDs out and everything, didn't you?
Oh, man, imagine entering all those authorization keys all over again. It's a living nightmare.
Do you ever have one where the CD key was on the disc itself, which you just put into the machine?
No, most of my CD keys came on a sticker on the manual.
Yeah, I had the one on the CD a few times, and that was always a proper nightmare, so...
So you had to eject it to see it, and then...
Yeah, like, it's just a poorly thought out, basically.
Well, I don't recall ever experiencing that frustration, so you'll have to give me... I should say you're on your own there, Robin.
Going off topic, when in your sordid past of reviewing video games...
Yes?
When it says that you got review code, was that going to be a disc with the thing on?
Yeah, there was a weird point at which I started using the phrase review code instead of saying... just a review copy of the game on disc. Mm. It's like just review code felt like this weird industry thing that I really resented at first, and then I slowly started using it, and then I found myself using it quite easily, then realising that I was talking to people outside of the industry who might think that the review code was a stupid thing to call it. There you go.
You were the monster at the end of the book there.
Yeah, but review code was invariably just a disc. It wasn't a code that you entered into a box.
Yeah, I thought that was always the case, like, review code meant something you had to download, even in, like, the 90s late 90s, early 100s.
Yeah, it's...
I'm not sure.
It's quite a weird thing to call it. It's like calling, like, oh, I just wrote an article. That's some nice content for you.
Ugh.
It's just like, a video game is just a batch of code, really, isn't it?
That's the most depressing way to think about it, yeah.
Well, yeah.
All right. Just then, your computer beeps. A long, loud, piercing beep. You cover your ears. Your eyes widen as the black message box doubles in size. This time the message says, "Please help. I'm begging you. This virus is really bad. I need help now. Hurry. From your web crawler." You and Mark stare at the black message box on your screen. A sick feeling hits your gut. "Now that's freaky," Mark says. "I've never seen an error message like that. It sounds like a real person talking. Like it's alive." You glance at Mark and shiver. "What web crawler are you using anyway?" Mark asks. I think that's Goosebumps slang for browser.
Well, maybe... I mean, in 97, 99, were we still using Netscape Navigator? I don't know.
Well, the protagonist of the book is using a web crawler called Spider with a Y.
Internet, World Wide Web, yes, I get it, yes.
Very good, RL.
I can't wait. Carry on reading. I'm so glad that I haven't had to make any decisions yet, because I don't want to die. I want to know what happens.
It's called Spider, you answer. You don't need to explain that a web crawler is a program you use to get around on the internet. Mark knows. "Someone gave it to me for free," you add. "Free software? Bad news," Mark exclaims. "Free stuff always has viruses. Let's turn this off, reboot, and start again. Maybe the message will go away." And just a message for people at home. While AdventurePod is free to download every week, it doesn't have any viruses. Also, if you want, you can give us a little bit of money each week as well.
And if you do give money, maybe you won't get any viruses.
I'm just saying, you don't know that people that subscribe don't get access to the premium no virus feed. Anyway, patreon.com/adventurepod. "Shouldn't we try to help the web crawler?" you ask. You decide. "It's your computer," Mark says. "But I'll tell you this. If you tried to fix it, you could totally crash your hard drive." You think. Maybe he's right. But the web crawler is asking for help. So we can either try to get rid of the virus, or we don't dare mess with it and reboot our computer.
I don't think at this early stage there's going to be any way to avoid this virus problem. So I think the choice here is going to have very little impact on the overall narrative. I'm going to... the option is try and clean the virus?
Get rid of the virus or reboot the entire computer. And I'll tell you what, Log, this is going to be like, this is actually, the Give Yourself Goosebumps books are very different to Fighting Fantasy, whereas like, if we go right, we'll give us a completely different story to if we go left, right here.
So, right.
I'm keeping my finger on the page and we'll come back to here once we've got a good ending. Or a bad ending, who knows.
Okay, right, you are. Or keep your finger on page one, or just, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to try and clean the virus.
All right, it's very nice.
Because that's what she was asking.
Yeah.
And I've given this person a gender because I already feel a little bit romantic and protective towards her.
Fair enough. I can't ignore that message you declare. We've got to help the web crawler. Fine, Mark says, but how? I suppose it was called Spider, wasn't it? Or was it just our computer was banging out like that? I don't know, my housemate... I've been playing lots of Monster Hunter recently. Whenever we fight the Naskilla, which is a giant spider, my housemates always call that a she. Because I guess... Do you just think that spiders look quite feminine?
I suppose they've got... I mean, they are most frequently attached. There's the kiss of the spider woman, isn't there? So
yeah.
Just the... And what else is there? Are there any other famous gendered spiders? Spider-Man! Yes, so I suppose it's 50-50, really.
I was going to say there's probably a lot of yonic symbolism of being pulled into a web and tied up as well, but maybe I'm just terrified of women.
And they are renowned for laying eggs in your ear, and that's quite a, that's quite a feminine thing to do.
Wait, spiders or women are known for that?
Well, I don't know. I've never let a woman close enough to my ear to find out.
All right. You stare at the screen. Suddenly another message pops up. It covers the first message filling screen. What are you waiting for? Help me now. Under the message it says, click here to continue. Wait, Mark yells, but it's too late. You've already clicked the mouse. Another message pops up on the screen. You and Mark read it and begin to chuckle. You start laughing first, then Mark. Soon you're both doubled over, screaming with laughter. This bug is killing me. Get a can of bug spray, will you? Open up your computer and spray your hard drive. Bug spray, Mark sputters. Man, oh man. Somebody's got a sense of humour, you mutter, wiping tears from your eyes. But your computer starts to beep again. This time it's even longer, louder and more ear-splitting than before. And this time it doesn't stop. You clamp your hands over your ears. Beep! It's so loud you feel as if your eardrums are going to burst. Ow! Mark screams, covering his ears and bolting out of your room. I'm out of here. But what should I do? You yell after him. Mark doesn't answer. Okay, so now we're going to follow Mark to page 69. I feel like we have to mention whenever we're going to page 69 in these books, because it is, after all, the funny number.
And I'm going to follow Mark to 69. Him with dicks and mouths.
So many dicks, too few mouths.
And only a limited number of years in which to suck them all.
Mark races downstairs. In a flash, he's out of your back door. You're right behind him, but you stop in the kitchen and gulp down a few deep breaths. The beep is so loud it rattles the dishes in the sink. You have to stop that stupid noise. Should you pull the plug on the whole computer? That should make the beeping stop. Or should you do what the message says? Grab some bug spray and fumigate your hard drive. One thing's for sure, you've got to act fast, before your teeth split apart from that awful beeping. So you can either reach for the bug spray, or you can turn the computer off.
Okay, so it's trying to guide me into back to page one with the rebooting the computer thing by offering me a fucking absurd option.
That's what the computer was asking for. It was literally asking for you to open it up and fill it with bug spray. So
I'll follow this blatant folly, and I'm going to spray the bastard with bug spray. I'm going to follow through on this willful misinterpretation of a computer word bug, and go for it, let's do this.
Fill it with pesticides. Do you know how bug got the name bug back in the first days of computers when it was all on punch cards?
Was it because a punch card hole-shaped insect crawled into one of them and caused the computer to misread the punch card?
That's literally it, yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Fuck's sake.
I think that's pretty good. I'm going to try and find... Yeah, Grace Hopper, who was one of the original computer pioneers, publicised the term computer bug because they've got a picture of the dead moth that managed to crawl into the machine as well. Oh,
it was a moth. I was going to say, an insect wouldn't... Is a moth an insect? Oh, yeah, is it a bird? I don't know. Yeah, I was going to say a regular insect would surely not have affected the outcome. I'm not interested in that. I'm just carry on. Sorry, I'm boring myself.
It wouldn't have done anything quite so frivolous as climbing. Yeah. Only a moth would have been responsible for that. You grab a can of bug spray from under the kitchen sink. You grab a screwdriver, then race back upstairs to your room. Your head throbs as you unscrew the cover on your computer. You press the nozzle on the can. Clouds of white foam shoot out. This is a really bad idea. Don't do this to your computer, kids. You cover the hole inside of your expensive computer with insect killer. The hard drive...
Oh no, it told me the thing was expensive. It was reprimanding me before the badness happened.
The hard drive, the memory chips, the motherboard. You hold your breath so you won't inhale any of the poisonous fumes. Excellent. You hear a bunch of crackling noises as the electronic parts sizzle. A few sparks fly, then flicker out. Finally, the terrible beeping stops. Yes, you shout, pumping your fist in the air. But the next sound you hear sends ice through your veins. I feel that's a bit of a, like, the young ones, it doesn't say not to put washing up liquid in the video. So... Nowhere on my computer manual does it say, do not fill this thing with pesticide.
Well, and it's also asking for it, so...
That's not like a victim-blaming thing, it was asking for it. It literally said, could you please do this thing, it would be really nice.
It went around looking like that. I think anyone would have been surprised if I hadn't pumped it full of pesticide. Oh dear.
It was literally holding a sign that said, I bloody love pesticide me.
I don't want to go further down this path because it's just being unacceptable.
Okay, a voice calls your name. Who is it? The computer? But you killed it with bug spray. You spin around. It's not the computer. It's worse than that. Mum? You stutter, trying to smile. Aren't you supposed to be at work? Your mum stands in your doorway, staring at your ruined computer. She does not look happy. What are you doing? She demands. That was a brand new computer. Do you know how much it cost your father and me? It had a bug, a virus, and... You babble on about the error messages, and the horrible beeping, and how the computer told you to use bug spray. But it's no use, your computer is toast, your room stinks of bug spray, and your mum is furious. I can't believe this, she shakes her head as if to clear it. Stay in your room until I decide of your punishment. Learn your fate on page 61. Your mum...
Murder her. I refuse to face up to the consequences of my actions. Murder my mum.
That's the only logical conclusion we can draw here. Your mum slams your bedroom door, really slams it, with an incredibly loud bang. What a petty thing for her mum to do.
Yeah, grow up, mum.
Ow, you hear her say, but you don't dare poke your head outside to see if she's okay. After all, she told you to stay in your room, and that's exactly what you're going to do. Too bad you don't know that your mum has just hit herself on the head with the door. Now she's got amnesia. She doesn't remember anything. Her name, her address, nothing. She doesn't even remember that she has a kid. And she certainly doesn't remember telling you to stay in your room. Looks like you'll be here for a very long time. Too bad your computer is fried. At least you could have played some video games to pass the time. Now you'll be staring at that blank screen until the end. That's also the end of the book.
What a twist.
Like, that was a very, like... last minute swerve there. Just
amnesia happens more, I think, in fiction than it does in real life.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Your mum knocks herself out and gives herself amnesia because she closed the door too hard
on her head. I wanted her to become an empty vessel. The amnesia creates a kind of, just turns her into a husk that is easily inhabitable by the denizens of the internet.
Oh, no,
that would have been good.
That would have been proper spooky. Yeah.
Can we rewind and can I just turn the computer off and on again, please?
Yeah, right. So it's page 14, page 52, page 69. Okay, so we can either reach the bug spray, which we've done, and that was bad, or we can turn off the computer. Let's see what happens.
Let's do that.
Using bug spray in your computer? No way.
Well, hindsight is 2020.
You'd have to be a blithering incompetent to do that.
Does it say fuckwit in the book?
No, that was... I wish that R.L. Stine could have got away with saying fuckwit. Why ruin thousands of dollars worth of equipment when you could just pull the plug? You race back up to your room. The shrill screaming beep rattles your brain. You stoop down and reach towards the socket behind your desk. You yank the plug out of the socket. The noise stops. Silence. Beautiful silence. Phew, you say, letting out a sigh of relief. You flop down in your bed. That's when you hear it. A tiny muffled voice coming from your computer. It's calling your name. But how can that be? You've unplugged it.
But it's a tiny actual human voice coming from inside my computer.
Yes.
God, what are my options?
You sit up fast, your heart pounding as you approach your computer. Slowly, very slowly. The tiny voice gets louder. It calls your name again. You glance out of the window by your desk and do a double take. It's Mark! He's standing in your back garden, waving and calling up to you. And you thought it was the computer. Laughing at your mistake, you raise the window. Hey Mark, you yell. I unplugged it and the beeping stopped. You can come back in, you grin. That is, if you're not too scared. Mark kicks sheepishly at the dirt. Okay, he says.
Oh dear, I am such a putz. I guess I did get a little bit scared back then.
I feel like the Goosebumps one-page cliffhanger is one of my favourite things in R.L. Stein's, like, writing arsenal.
I honestly haven't read many Goosebumps, if any at all, so I'm enjoying the style of this one.
Yeah, I think it was in Monster Blood, where at the end of one chapter it says, suddenly, you go blind. Then you turn to the page, start of the next chapter, and it reveals that a cat has fallen on your face and is blocking your eyes.
That's, of course, a cat landing on your face is just, that's the first thing you'd interpret it as, sudden.
Just blindness.
Well, so carry on then. Where are we going with this?
Sorry I ran like that, Mark apologizes, bursts into your room. You know I don't usually get scared. No problemo, you reply.
Maybe... Hey, I'm a cool dude.
It's the 90s. Let's surf the web. Turn my baseball cap backwards and I'm ready to party.
No problemo. My God, that is actually how I talk, so I'm really identifying with the protagonist.
Maybe we should take the computer to a computer shop. I mean, we shouldn't mess with a virus. Let someone else fix it, you know? A virus is nothing, Mark argues. We can fix it ourselves.
Compared to the might of Jesus Christ. So hang on. What, at the beginning of this story, wasn't my... the screen of my monitor flexing with a kind of eerie, non-glass-like capabilities.
There was a pulsing thing beneath it, as if some kind of spider had laid eggs underneath the glass of our monitor. A virus is nothing, Mark argues. We can fix it ourselves. Let's plug it in and give it another try. You hesitate, remembering the beeping noise. If it starts beeping again, we can just pull the plug, Mark says, as if reading your mind. Well... So we can either plug in our computer and reboot it, or we can take it to the computer shop to be fixed by a computer specialist at the computer shop, because he's a computer expert. Computers.
I like the technology going on here.
The computer man.
I'm sorry, I think I may have... I'm just closing down some windows, because I think I heard a Google alert there, so I'm just...
Okay.
Stop. So just... We shouldn't get any more annoying bleeps like that last one I just put in there, sorry.
I didn't hear any annoying bleeps coming through.
Oh, in that case, you and the listeners will be confused by my talking about it.
It's okay, I'll cut this entire bit out, don't worry.
Never.
Alright, where were we? Are we plugging in our computer again, or are we taking it to the computer shop?
I don't see how a computer shop could help me. Plug it in again.
Okay, I'll tell you this now. Taking it to the computer shop does, in fact, give us a bad ending. So,
hey!
We'll get to that later.
Well, you don't want to go out into the real world and stuff like that, and it feels like this should be something I deal with in the comfort of my own bedroom.
Yeah, well, you don't want to go into the real world. I feel like at some point in this, we have to hack into the computer and go into some kind of cyberspace.
If I'm not surfing a cable, literally sort of like using it as a way of getting from one place to the next, within the next five chapters, I'm just going to hang up on you and fuck this podcast.
Yeah, it's reasonable. All right, Mark, I'm game, you declare. Let's reboot and give it another shot. You boot up your computer again. Everything seems normal. You log on to the internet. Instead of a message, a weird swirling image appears. What is that? Mark asks. I don't know, you answer as a face starts to form. The face of a hideous monster. Two sharp pincers snap open and closed. Yellow pus squirts out of its mouth. Wait a minute, Mark shouts. What was the name of that web crawler you've got? Spider, you answer. Then that means...
Well, that's the spider, isn't it?
Yeah. That's is your... That... Sorry.
No, I wasn't saying, but that... What that means is like there's a huge revelation about to happen. No, it's just a spider.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, carry on reading. This is...
That's your web crawler, Mark says. You grin. The monster is spider. Cool. You punch in a few commands. So let's delete spider, you say as you're typing. That should delete the virus, right? Right, and it will also get rid of whatever is sending you those weird messages. Mark agrees. But before you finish typing, a new message pops up on your computer screen. Don't try to delete me. Whoa, you cry. Whoever wrote this program is good. I imagine he like kisses his fingers like a chef then as well.
Oh yeah, just before typing, he kisses all eight fingers.
Warming them up.
I guess I'm going to have to choose whether to delete Spider or not now.
Well, they guess you tried to delete it, Mark exclaims. Try the mouse. But the mouse is frozen. No matter how much you move it round or how many times you click the button, nothing happens. The spider face starts to change shape. The colours swirl round again. Maybe it's going away, you mumble hopefully. But it doesn't go away. It just changes from the shape of a four-eyed monster head to an entire monster, tentacles and all. But that's not the worst part. See, the thing is with these books is that, like...
Spider tentacles.
They're very... It's very large font. On quite a small page, and they make you go back and forth throughout the entire book a lot. So basically, there's not really as many choices in these books as you would expect. There's a lot of okay. Now let's see what happens. And that's the worst part is that one of the monster's tentacles is pushing up against the screen, and the screen bulges out. The bump, you murmur. I'd forgotten all about it. I don't believe it, Mark whispers.
I was wondering whether they were going to address the fact that we hadn't talked about the most notable thing that had happened so far. As in the physical form of everyday objects being warped by an unearthly force.
Yeah. I told you, you cry as the bulge gets bigger and bigger.
turn to 69. Ooh.
The screen suddenly splits. A blue tentacle bursts through and waves around in the air. Yikes, you yell.
That's exactly what I'd say in this situation.
Zowie.
Jeepers.
You and Mark jump back from the computer. The next minute, another tentacle pokes out, then another. Finally, the entire spider monster bursts out of your monitor. It plops onto your desk and gropes across, feeling its way across the piles of papers and pencils. Grope your way to page 56.
A full spider monster. He said, one leg, one tentacle comes out, then another, then another, then another. Then he gets bored of saying then another. I wanted seven then another's as every tentacle came out one by one. No, he got lazy.
Then another, then the rest of them. I don't know.
It's just on the table now. Just fucking imagine it.
You and Mark stare in horror at the enormous creature on your desk. It's about the size of a small cat.
The most terrifying size there is.
You can't describe something as an enormous creature, then say it's a small cat. Like, I don't know. I like to consider myself a cat person. But also, I think if push came to shove, I could easily destroy a cat in a battle of wits and a battle of fists.
Yeah, a battle of sitting on the other one. You sit on a cat, that cat's damaged. The cat sits on you, you give it a stroke.
Yeah, you say, oh, hello. Hello, weird eight-legged spider monster. It's quite pleasant.
I hope it doesn't try and crawl into my mouth.
Ugh.
Is it going to?
Let's find out. Its four eyes look as if they belong on a tarantula. Its big, squishy body looks as if it belongs on an octopus. What's wrong with you? The monster spider snarls. I asked you to help me, but you didn't. It snaps one of its hairy tentacles. You and Mark back off even further, slowly. Now Spidey is very, very angry with you, the monster growls. Spidey? You and Mark exchange a glance. Imagine they're like looking at each other going, whoa, Spidey? And like the brims on their baseball caps are bumping into each other, of course.
This is great. I mean, I thought it was going to be a kind of Cthulhu-esque monster, but it's beginning to sound a bit more like Denver the Last Dinosaur or Rude Dog from the Dweebs.
I'm sorry, I laughed, but I don't understand any of those references.
Oh, that's because I'm from the 80s, and you need to Why not read up on Rude Dog and the Dweebs? A lot of fun.
If there's anything we can plug this episode, it'll be Rude Dog and the Dweebs. So there you go. The royal baby decrees it so.
It was a cool dog that chose to hang around with six rainbow-coloured nerd dogs who kind of worshipped him. And each found their own strengths basking in his coolness.
I feel like there's a lot I can relate to in that. Anyway, so the spider monster is referring to itself in the third person. Let's make a break from the door, Mark whispers. Okay, you whisper back, but we'd better move fast. You both leap towards the bedroom door. You grab the doorknob. You're about to wrench open the door when you hear a terrifying scream behind you. You duck instinctively. Spidey flies past your shoulder and smacks against the door, slamming it shut. Then the monster faces you. Going somewhere? It asks.
Wow. I'm surprised that having hit a door with some impact, it hasn't lost its memory. But clearly this monster is made of sterner stuff than my mother.
Well, it said it was octopus-like, so I presume it just, like, squished against the door.
Oh, fair play.
It's very much designed for slamming doors.
What can I do to fight it? Do I get to fight it now? Is there a fighting mechanic in Goosebumps books?
No, we will not be rolling any dice here. Although, we'll see what happens next.
Go on.
No, not going anywhere, Mark stammers. But you've had it with this spider. You grab the doorknob and fling open the door, Spidey and all. You make it as far as the hall. Ah! Spidey lets out a war cry and leaps at you. Its legs clamp onto your chest. Its tentacles dig in as if they were cat's claws. Before you can scream or push it away, Spidey sinks its dripping fangs into your neck. No! You scream. The next instant, the monster drops off and scuttles down the stairs. And then it's telling us to scuttle to page 26. Like, the little things at the bottom of each page are just weird. Like, when it's telling us to grope our way over to page 56 or chase Mark down the stairs, wiggling our fingers to page 69.
I don't know. I'm trying to work out what's happened. I've been bitten by an internet spider. Have I been injected with, I don't know, XML? What's going on now?
You've been injected with memes.
Has he given me what I need? Now I've got that kind of stuff in my blood, will I be able to enter the computer world?
God, I really hope so. Okay. Look Please. At that bite, Mark exclaims. An expression of horror fills his face. You hurry into your room and glance in the mirror. The bite mark is purplish-red and already swollen. It throbs. Has the monster gone, you ask? Your voice trembles. You feel really sick. You begin to shake all over. Yeah, Mark answers. But I have to tell you, I think we should go after it. Are you crazy, you say? I need to call my mum. She'll come home and help me. But by then it will be too late, Mark insists. We have to catch it. They'll need to test it for diseases and stuff. It has a virus, remember? Make up your mind. You could call your mum, but then Spidey will get away. So we can either chase the monster or call our mum.
Good horror was never built from actually searching out the help of an adult. I think we're going to have to do this ourselves, aren't we?
I believe so, yeah. I'm just trying to think about, like, any horror stories where they introduce a character in the third act and then that character doesn't die horrifically.
Yeah, yeah. I also like the idea of a book that teaches children not to seek the help of their parents in an emergency.
Just take things to your own hands.
Yeah, you big baby. Looking for your mum, are you? What are you, some kind of wuss? Well, you died. Well done for choosing the idiotic course and seeking the help of a grown-up.
Well, I mean, obviously, I feel like the character in this must be American, so just, you know, get your one of your dad's numerous guns.
And shoot yourself in the wound.
Just shoot it off. There you go. That'll save the day.
There's nothing more disinfecting than cold bullets.
Cold steel and hot lead. Hoorah.
So, what's he going to do next? What are we going
to
do?
You're right, you tell Mark. We've got to find that spider thing. If it has some disease, we've got to know. Come on, Mark shouts. It went down the stairs. You both hurtle down the stairs that lead to the kitchen. You stare at the kitchen table and chairs, the cabinets and worktops. It could be any... the kitchen table and chairs, then the cabinets and worktops. Very nice granite worktop we've got here as well. We just had it installed. It looks delightful. Why did it get so in-depth into what's in a kitchen?
It didn't really go in-depth so much as just list a few things you can expect to see in a kitchen.
Yeah, like... I mean, I don't know. I feel like the readers of this book may have seen a kitchen before.
Yes. I don't know, it's just the author wants to show off that he knows some words.
You know what, like, of all the Errol Stein books we've read, I feel like that very much cuts to the heart of it. It could be anywhere, you say. You glance at Mark. He looks as terrified as you feel. Unless, Mark begins, his eyes go wide. Unless what? He won't find out unless you turn to page 100, so let's go then, I guess. Unless it went down there. Mark...
Hang on, was that genuinely a... There was no option at the end of that, it just made you turn to a page?
Yeah, it was just the end of that page when you had to turn. Like I said, the font in these books are really big.
Oh, okay.
Unless it went down there, Mark points to the door that leads to the basement. It's slightly ajar. You gulp. The basement. The scariest room in the house.
Oh, fuck.
Dark, dingy, damp, and filled with choice spots for a big hairy spider to hide. No way, Mark declares. You roll your eyes. You didn't even ask. All right, you say with a sigh. I'll search down there. You keep looking up here. You try to stop your hand from shaking as you reach to the as you reach for the doorknob. The basement is dark. Even after you flip on the light, there's only one dim flickering bulb in the corner. The stairs creak as you step down on them. Something soft brushes against your neck. You jump about a mile, screaming your head off. Then you realise it's only an old mop. You stop screaming.
No, that was a cliffhanger. A moment of terror. Oh, a mop, that's fine. But the spider's still there. I'm terrified again. Carry on reading.
The tension is ratcheting up at this point. You stop screaming, but you realise someone else is screaming now. Mark! You bound back up the stairs into the kitchen. It bit me, Mark cries. With one hand, he's holding closed the door to the cabinet under the sink. He holds out his other hand, showing you an ugly swollen red bite mark on his wrist. Bits of yellow pus cling to it. Let me out, Spidey's growling voice comes through the door. Let me out and I'll give you something you need.
Ooh.
Find out what Spidey wants to give you on page 129. Ugh.
Well, I don't trust this spider at all. In the first instance, it was trying to get me to destroy my computer.
Yeah.
It's just a mischief maker, I think.
Possibly. I don't trust Spidey as far as I can throw it, but then again, Spidey was established to be the size of a small cat, so maybe I could throw it quite far.
Yeah, it's more traditional to swing a cat-sized thing, though.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, there's more than one way to skin a spider monster that's crawled onto your computer.
I'm going to let it out and see what it's got to say.
Okay. Please, Spidey's voice grows softer, gentler. If you let me out, I'll teach you how to treat the virus. Maybe you should let the ugly thing out. But what if it's a trick? So you can let it out, or you can keep it under the sink on page 25. But we're not doing that, we're going to page 47. I guess we'd better let it out, you tell Mark. I'm not opening that door, Mark says, backing away. That thing bit me. It bit me too, you snap. But we're both going to get ill. And I want to know what the cure is. Didn't you hear what it said? Mark won't budge. So finally you reach for the cabinet door handle.
Kill Mark. Kill him with an iron. Smash an iron into his face and get through that door.
He's barricaded the way. And only with his death can we get through.
Hey!
You quickly swing it open, then jerk your arm back out of the way. You don't want another bite. Rattle and bang. Bottles and cans fall over as Spidey pokes its hideous head into the kitchen. Your heart is pounding, but you try to act fearless. Are you coming out or not, you decide. Or you demand.
Okay.
Even. You made the right decision to let me out of there, Spidey tells you. Ugh, gross, Mark mutters as the monster's mouth drips yellow pus onto the floor. Just tell us the cure, you demand. I feel ill already. I'm all hot and sweaty, and shaky too. That's the virus, all right, Spidey says. It's erasing your memory. Pretty soon, you don't remember the rules of your favourite sports.
Wow, amnesia does come very easily in this book.
Yeah, in the Goosebumps universe.
I mean, I thought that amnesia was primarily caused by being hit on the head with a saucepan.
Yes.
And obviously cured with a second hit on the head with a saucepan.
The first symptom of it is, like, birds start flying around your head, your eyes become spirals. Then comes the memory loss, of course.
Well, naturally, yes. You've got to get over... The stars have got to disappear first. But, what's next, then?
Pretty soon you'll remember the rules of your favourite sports. You won't remember your best friend's name. You won't even remember the words to Mary Had a Little Lamb. Little lamb. Little lamp? That's not right, Mark frowns. Or is it? You shrug. It sounds right to me. You're forgetting things already, the monster points out. Okay, okay, you say. We let you out. Now keep your word. How do we get better? Yeah, Mark adds. What's the cure for this thing? Spidey chuckles. A deep, mean-sounding chuckle. Curing the virus is easy, Spidey says between guffaws. But you won't like it.
Oh no.
You do have to kiss each other.
You're gonna have to finger bang.
Oh. Well, if that's what the virus says, get over here, Mark.
I don't know. We're just sex marionettes for the rest of the book, controlled by a spider beast.
Why not, you ask? You have to make a special soup, the monster answers. Cook up pig's knuckles, fish heads, sheep's eyeballs and Brussels sprouts, and add some computer chips.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
It's not what... Okay, you know what? He was trying to hit the zeitgeist.
Well, yeah. Like, aren't Brussels sprouts disgusting? Eh, kids?
Computer chips. They're like something you get in a computer, eh, kids?
Oh, chips. Yeah, I forgot. That's like food as well, isn't it? It's a food word that they use in computers. So that makes but it like even...
That's the only one he could get. Like, he only got computer chips. He couldn't say, like... I don't know. He didn't say, like, you have to cook up a mouse.
Or processed cheese.
Oh. You and Mark glance at each other. Your eyes lock. No way, your expression is say. You've got to eat 4 gallons of it, Spidey goes on. Every day for a week. No possible way. I'd rather be a walking zombie than eat that stuff, Mark declares. Yeah, you agree. I'd rather, but you can't finish the sentence. You've forgotten how to speak. You should have jumped at the chance to eat that disgusting soup.
You didn't give me the option, you stupid book.
Piss off, Arlstein. You should have jumped at the chance to eat that disgusting soup, because now you're in serious trouble. You've forgotten how to eat as well. For you and Mark, this is the end. Awful.
Well, I'm not going to do anything this spider beast tells me to do ever again.
I want to see what happens if we keep it locked in the cabinet.
Yes, I wonder if the symptoms of the virus will change.
Probably.
Yes, because otherwise that does seem like it's very fast-acting, and if they don't change, then it's going to be the same outcome, but with a spider inside a cupboard.
Yeah. Alright, so let's see what happens if we keep the monster under the sink on page 25. No way, you whisper, shaking your head hard at Mark. Don't listen to it. You lean against the kitchen worktop. You put your hand to your forehead. Gross! It's slick with sweat. I'm sweaty, you say in surprise, and my head is throbbing like crazy. You swallow hard. I think I'm getting ill. Mark frowns. No way, man, he mumbles. You can't get a virus from a computer. Computer viruses aren't germs or anything. They're just bad programs. Very much like...
Wise words.
He's a tech wizard, is this, Mark?
Wise words, but seems somewhat at odds with the fact that we've got a monster in a cupboard that's just jumped out of our monitor.
Yeah, computer bugs aren't giant spiders either, Mark, but, well, let's see what we've got here.
Yes.
I don't care what you think, you tell him. I'm definitely going to throw up. You cover your... That's my favourite way of declaring how sick you feel in one of these books. I'm definitely going to throw up. Get out of my way. You cover your mouth and make a mad dash for the toilet. You race into the hallway, but when you get there, you suddenly freeze. Which way is the toilet? You can't remember.
The symptoms are similar.
It's internal consistency. I did not expect this from R.L. Stein.
Well, I thought he'd change it just because, well, assuming that no one would ever read Bode Perth Pass, so he could just make shit up as he went along.
Calm down, you tell yourself. You're in your own house. You grew up here. Of course you know where the toilet is. But you don't. Your memory is already being erased. That's what this computer virus does. Luckily, you spot a glimpse of white tiles through an open door. You make it into the toilet just in time. When you're finished being sick, you stumble back down the hall. Somehow, you find your way back to the kitchen. Uh-oh, Mark tells you. I think I'm going to be sick too. He lurches forward, covering his mouth with both hands. No, you cry. Don't let go of that cabinet door. But it's too late. So, Mark...
Oh, right, yeah.
He forgot that he had to hold the cabinet door closed, and he instead went, I'm going to be sick, and then covered his mouth with his hands. Have you ever thrown up into your hands?
No, I've thrown up into a small carrier bag and a cup of tea.
Oh, okay. I've got a vivid memory of going to a bar, and on my way to the bathroom, because I'd had one too many, throwing up into my hands a little bit and it going up my sleeve, which is probably the most unpleasant thing that happened to me that night. But the most unpleasant thing that happened to me that month, I think it was the same time I was working at the nightclub where somebody stood on my fingers when I was cleaning up sick, so...
Oh, I have been sick onto a dance floor before as well.
Oh, who hasn't?
Yeah, that's all right then, as long as that's fine.
Yeah, like, as long as you can get away with it and nobody notices you doing it, then you can still have a good night. But then somebody else has to come up and clean it up for you, and then...
No, people dance it into the floor. By the end of the night, it's the whole nightclub is just covered with a micro-thin layer of vomit.
Well, you mean like it wasn't already?
Yes, oh yeah, you're right. I probably wasn't the first to... I'm not an innovator in this field.
You were not the first, and you certainly won't be the last. I'm allowed to make fun of people that have to clean up sick in nightclubs, because I used to be one, by the way.
So. Oh, I mopped up dog sick in my pub only last week.
Oh, hooray.
So someone fed a dog spicy wedges, and...
That seems like a really bad idea.
It's borderline abuse. I called the man a fucking arsehole.
Yeah, and rightly so, I believe. The cabinet door flies open. The hideous blue monster leaps out. It plants itself in the middle of the kitchen floor. Ha ha, tricked you, it sneers. Yellow pus drips from its mouth. There is no cure for the virus. Spidey laughs and laughs. You glance...
Wait, Oh, sorry, carry on. I was going to pick fault with the consistency, but there was no fault. Carry on.
The fault was it was just fucking with us the other time.
Yeah, I just forgotten that he had said... I'll tell you the cure before the decision. So, like, no, yeah. No, it's fine. I'm wrong. This book is without fault.
Which, well, without fault in this instance, at least.
Yes, except for the many glaring faults.
Spidey laughs and laughs. You glance around for a weapon. You grab the first thing you find. A yellow plastic spatula. It's not much, but it's better than nothing. Stay away from me, you warn the monster, or I'll... You won't do anything, Spidey interrupts. You can't. The virus is erasing your memory too fast. You probably don't even remember what that plastic thing is. Uh-oh, it's true. You stare at the yellow thing in your hand. You have no idea what it does. But you can't let Spidey know it's right, so you bluff. I do know what this is for, you declare. It's for... So he can tell Spidey it's for flipping pancakes, or he can tell them it's for swatting flies.
Is this the book testing whether I actually know what a spatula is?
It might be, yeah. This is... Another test of logic here.
Well, I'm going to tell him it's for flipping pancakes, because that might make him think that the virus isn't working and drive him to make an error as he gets more desperate.
Yeah. It's for flipping pancakes, you shout, proudly. You do remember.
I'm so proud.
Ha ha! I've seen my mum make a pancake before. Whom are you talking to, dear? A voice behind you asks. You spin round. A nice lady's coming in the back door with a bag of groceries in each hand. What's her name again? Mup? Mull? Mub? It's on the tip of your tongue. But before you can come up with it, the nice lady opens her mouth and lets out a horrible blood-curdling scream. She won't stop screaming until you turn to page 98!
We turn quickly, stop the screams of my mother.
How horrible. Like, she won't stop screaming. It's like one long, unbroken, ah!
And that's when you close the book and go to sleep, trapping the fictional woman in a noisy exhale forever.
Also, like, I don't know how old our protagonist is, where, like, we don't even know our mother's name, but... I know, at what age do you, as a kid in America, find out that your mother's name isn't actually Mum, and it's actually, I don't know, Jan? Just pull the name out of a hat. That was the best one I could think of.
I think it happens when you get your driving license in America.
You have to write her name down on the form and you go, oh,
what?
I was just going to put Mum.
I thought that was Dad insulting you.
All right.
I know she's screaming. She's still screaming, Robin. You're leaving the poor woman in distress.
We should do something about this. Spidey is attacking the lady. It sinks its pus-covered fangs into her neck. Get it off me, she cries. Get this thing off me. You swat at the monster with the yellow plastic thing you find in your hand. You miss. Wait a minute, what are you trying to do? Spidey laughs. I warned you, it says. Your human memory is almost gone now. Soon you'll be a mutant web crawler. You'll do what you're programmed to, nothing else. Huh? You watch stupidly as Spidey leaps from the lady's shoulder and races the front door. A man dressed in a business suit opens the door. Honey, I'm home. He cries as the monster leaps at him and sinks its teeth into his neck. Spidey races through the front door. For some reason, you follow it. I do appreciate the father going, well, I'm here now. Whoa! Bits in the face. For the rest of the day, you watch as the monster bites every human being it can find. Later, you hear that it's bitten everyone in the whole town, in the whole country. Within a year, everyone in the world has been bitten. Each person's memory has been completely erased. There isn't a human being left on Earth who can remember his or her own name. But they don't mind. After all, computers have taken over the world. Computers know best. Whoops. Looks like you should have found a better weapon than a spatula, because right now, all you've got is a blank mind, and a lot of egg on your face. And that means the yolk's on you. The end.
Wait. Did that actually happen in the book? Did it just resort to egg puns in the final moments?
Egg puns, like, literally, like...
Egg puns from nowhere. There was no eggs in the book before that.
It just said a lot of egg on your face, but yeah. They hadn't mentioned an egg in the entire thing before that. Well, I suppose we had done with the spider laying eggs in our ear.
That was an egg pun ex machina, and I'm not having it.
I feel like that's R.L. Stine trying to inject some levity into this apocalypse ending that we've just found ourselves in.
But I don't recall any decision that we could have made differently at this stage.
The only one is possibly saying, it's not for flipping pancakes, it's for swatting flies.
Oh, yeah, okay. Can we do that and see how it changes the outcome? Because I'm fascinated to know.
It must do something, like...
Oh, you're mistaken about the uses of a spatula. In that case, here's how to fix the situation. Well, it's a bit of a reach, but please, can we find out?
Let me just find the page and... Where is it? Okay.
I'm on tenterhooks here.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I'd like to write a series of books called Tenterhooks.
Hmm.
Similarly scary stories. Actually, I'm going to write one of these for Regular Features. Why not tune into the next episode of Regular Features, where I'll be doing one of these?
So, flipping pancakes or for swatting flies? It's for killing flies, you say with uncertainty. What are flies? Spidey asks. You hesitate. Are they spider food? Right, Spidey tells you. It starts to laugh, throwing its hideous head back and shaking all over. What's so funny, you ask? You, the monster answers. You didn't even realise you're turning into a mutant web crawler like me. Do you still want to hurt me with that spatula? Do you? Find out on page 7.
I think I do.
Of course not.
Don't put motives into my mouth, you awful author.
Why would you want to hurt a fellow web crawler? Spidey scampers across the kitchen floor towards the hall. Where are you going? You call after it. Up to your room, it says. I can't wait to tell my buddies you're ready. Buddies? You ask, feeling puzzled. Ready? Ready to crawl the internet, it replies. Oh.
I'm going to be surfing that cable soon, I can feel it.
At the Goofy Humans website, it says, bring your friend. You suddenly remember Mark. You take his arm. Both of you follow Spidey to your room. It hops up onto your desk, then it leaps onto your computer screen. You hear a weird sucking noise. Spidey crawls back into the monitor. Follow me, it yells. Can you do that? You gaze at the boy standing beside you. Wait a minute, he isn't a boy. He's a spider, like you. With 8 tentacles for legs, it's easy to crawl onto the desk. You gaze at the computer screen. You lift one tentacle. You punch it at the screen. It slides through easily. You lift another tentacle, then another, then 3 more.
Then another, then another.
You push and your whole body falls into the computer. You're completely inside now. As you crawl towards the other spiders, you dimly realise that your life as a human has reached the end.
You eat a cake made out of zeros and ones.
You take a bite out of it.
Oh, nice. What other computer words are there? Oh, my God.
You're feeling quite refreshed after that. like on a web page.
What? A USB? But no, an American... That sounds like... No, I've got nothing. CD tray. No. What's
You wonder if you have to pay for the computer cake with your cash?
Nice.
Oh.
Right. Speaker, the devil. here's a way of producing sound.
Oh, I think we've exhausted this side of the book. Should we go back to the start and try something else?
Oh my god. But we did... So that side of the book, that is just... We've done it then. What was the other option at the beginning of the book that we didn't do?
Just rebooting the computer there and then. Which will actually take us on a completely different quest.
But that's... Oh, so you were right. It's not actually like Final Fantasy books where it'll just guide you back to the place earlier.
Yeah. Oh, wait, no, actually, I'm looking at it. Reboot the computer takes us back to, but we have already seen, so...
We've done every option apart from that.
Go to page 52. Following mark to page 69. Okay, so turning off the computer right there. That's Mark shouting at us. Then filling it with bug spray.
Done that. That ended badly, as I recall.
Yeah, our mum knocked herself out on a door like that bit in Jack and Jill where she goes on Wheel of Fortune.
And also that episode of 24 when they think they really... From the first season when I think they realised they only had 23 hours so that they did a Jack Bauer's wife gets amnesia episode. She meets a tiger, I believe.
What?
I think that happened.
In 24? That just sounds weird.
Season 1 of 24, yeah. She... Oh, go and watch it. Or don't, if you don't like the glamorisation of torture and militarisation.
Alright, so we see what happens if we take our computer to the computer shop.
Take it to the computer shop, yes.
I've never messed with the virus before, you tell Mark, and I'm not going to start now. Let's get this to the shop. A week later, the shop manager calls to say it's ready. You hurry to the shop. What was wrong with it, you ask? Everything, the manager exclaims. Viruses all over the place. New ones that I've never seen before. But don't worry, we erased them. And he hands you a bill. You glance at it and gulp. The repairs cost hundreds of dollars. My mum will pay for this, you say quickly. Then you scram. I don't think they let you do that. That let you boot up, eager to try your newest game. A weird tingling shock travels up your fingers from the keyboard. The next morning, you're too weak to get out of bed. Your mum says you're running a really high fever. Must be a virus, she murmurs. Your fever goes higher and higher, and that's the last thing you remember before the end. I feel like that's a different style ending to the one we had before, because maybe you got a different virus which just kills us.
That's a boring ending. It's a tingle. Yeah. There's no monsters. Have you got a nervous tick on your leg that's banging the underside of the table?
I might be.
Yeah, sorry. I can hear it. Sorry, that's all. So, well, that's it then. Is there any way to end this story happy?
There is one thing we can do. Right, so we can either chase the monster and go, "Oi, you bloody fool, come back here," or we can call our mum for help.
Oh, yes, call our mum for help. God, are you all right?
This chair is awful. Like, if anybody's heard any weird crunching or creaking noises in previous episodes, that's mostly because this chair I'm sitting on is made out of suspension of disbelief. And if I think about it too hard, it might collapse beneath me. I'm ill, you moan. Call my mum at work. She'll know what to do. Fine, Mark says. What's her phone number? I don't know, you reply. I can't remember. Mark stares at you as if you're nuts. You can't remember your mum's phone number. He takes a breath. Okay, I'll look it up. Where does she work? I can't remember, you say. Are you kidding? Mark asks. You shake your head. I can't remember anything, you stammer. My face is hot, my throat is sore. My stomach hurts like crazy and I think I'm going to throw up. I want to go home, my feet hurt, and this is awful.
Oh, I sound like a 92-year-old.
Okay, don't panic, Mark says. You're probably getting the flu. The flu? You say uncertainly. Yeah, maybe. From the expression on Mark's face, you know what he's thinking. The same thing you're thinking. Page 18. You're thinking it's not the flu. It's a virus, and you know just what you got it from. Beads of sweat form on your face and forehead. Man, you look ill, Mark comments. We've got to get you to your doctor. My doctor? A feeling of dread spreads in the pit of your stomach. I don't remember my doctor's name, you confess. Mark seems really worried. Wait, I know a doctor we could go to, he announces. Or else what, you ask? From the gleam in Mark's eyes, you can tell he's got some crazy plan. There's this doctor my dad knows.
Some crazy plan involving visiting a doctor. What was this? Is the doctor called Professor Scalpels or something? What? Carry on reading. This is
Johnny Needles.
Yeah, Johnny Reckless Endangerment Needles.
Mr. Bonesaw. It's played by Macho Man Randy Savage, of course.
Excellent.
There's this doctor my dad knows, Mark begins. Dr. Bronstein. You could go to him or... Or what? You demand. Come on, just say it. Or you could ask his daughter Rachel for help, Mark suggests. She's like a teenager or something. His daughter, you mumble. You wipe a sweaty palm across your forehead.
Ooh, daughters. Ooh, teenage girls. My sweaty palms. Ooh.
She's a total computer whiz, Mark explains. She can hack into anything. She changed my sister's grades to all Fs, just for the fun of it. You moan. But I'm ill. I need a real doctor. But what if you don't have a real flu, Mark says. What if you have... a computer virus.
I can hack computers, but humans don't have keyboards, so I'm just going to have to play with your dick and balls.
Well, whatever you say, Rachel. I lean back.
You're the computer whiz, Rachel.
Alright, so do we get medical help, or do we get unprofessional help?
Teenagers. We have... True adventure is had only by teenagers, and I wish to I wish to recruit Rachel to my adventure gang.
I believe it was R.L. Stein that said, I believe teenagers are the future. Rachel hangs out at the dot-com diner, Mark says. That's where we're going. The dot-com diner is a really cool diner in town. It has sofas, tables, and computers all over the place.
Whoa.
I'm just going to read the rest of this page out in that voice. When you and Mark get there, the place is hopping. The customers are drinking milkshakes, surfing the internet, and chatting. That's her, Rachel Bronstein, Mark says. He points to a tall girl with long red hair. She is standing in the back corner, arguing with a couple of nerdy-looking guys. Let's hurry, you moan. I feel really dizzy. The room swims in front of your eyes. Everything goes blurry. You collapse, crumbling into a big overstuffed chair.
And you puke on Rachel's face.
This bit's become autobiographical. I'll get Rachel, Mark tells you. Stay there, okay? You nod weakly. Mark hurries to the back corner to talk to Rachel. A few minutes later, the two of them return and sit down beside you. I've told her everything, Mark explains, about the messages on your screen and the bulge. And don't tell her about the bulge, Mark, please. And the spider monster, and how it bit you, and how you can't remember stuff. You look really ill, Rachel comments. She shakes her head, staring at you as if you're a cooked goose. What? You can't help me, you ask? I can, Rachel says, but it's going to be tricky. We've got two choices. We could try to catch the monster, then maybe I could dissect it. Or we can go into the internet and look for a cure. I think I might know how to find an antidote. There are three of you now. Maybe you should try to find the thing that bit you. Then again, an antidote sounds really good. Quick, make up your mind. So we can go out and look for the spider, or we can surf the net for a cure.
Damn it. My instincts have fired wrong on every decision so far, so maybe looking for an antidote on the internet sounds like the boring option? I want to get involved in a chase scene. Let's hunt down the beast.
Alright. Let's find the spider monster, you decide. I never feel safe while it's walking around loose. Rachel nods, the three of you head for the door. You spread out, combing the neighbourhood. You search the park, the school, little shops and stores. Have you seen the spider monster? You, Rachel and Mark ask everyone you see. It's about the size of a cat, with 8 tentacles, 4 eyes, and a pus-covered mouth. Everyone interrupts you with chuckles and guffaws. All they stare at you as if you're stark raving mad. The search is so hopeless, the three of you are starting to go crazy.
Do-yo-yo-yo!
You, Rachel and Mark trudge along the street. You're tired, hot, sweaty, aching. You feel like you're going to die. I give up, you moan. Just put on my tombstone that... There it is, Mark shouts, interrupting and pointing. You, like, very committed to... We're just going to drop dead on the spot. You gulp and freeze, scuttling towards you. A block ahead is the hideous spider. The sight of it creeping along makes your heart race. I can't believe it, Rachel whispers. It's the most hideous, disgusting thing you ever see. You finish her sentence for her. No, Rachel cries. That's not hideous at all. I think it's the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Right.
What? You gasp, shocked. Are you crazy? Mark shouts. Rachel rushes towards the monster. Rachel, you cry. No! You watch in shock as Rachel races over to the spider monster. She scoops it up and cuddles it. I can't believe it's not biting her, Mark whispers. He's in awe, so are you. Rachel comes over, hugging the slimy blue monster and cooing to it. He told me that you two are mean to him, she huffs. You scared him, that's why he bit you. I'm going to make him my pet. What about the virus? You ask. How do I make it go away? Rachel whispers at the spider. Then she listens while it croaks an answer. He said, just take a hot bubble bath. It'll go away by morning. Great, you shout. Cool, Mark yells, giving you a high five. I'm going to take you home, Rachel coos to her new pet. I think I'll name you Webster. The end.
This just sounds like stupid bath propaganda by the Keep Kids Clean Brigade. Well, that was unexpected. There was no resolution to the spider creature's previous bad behaviour.
Yes.
I would have liked some words from the spider itself, because it can speak English, and it's almost like it's turned into a basic animal then. That was unsatisfying.
It was a bit. Do you want to go onto the internet to search for another cure?
Yes, let's do this.
Okay. Also, I feel like the kids keep Kids Clean Brigade was in The Witches by Roald Dahl, but that could just be me making another reference, another limited audience reference, maybe. I don't know. Do people read Roald Dahl anymore?
Well, if they don't, they should.
Yes. Right, where were we? To search the net for a cure for the virus, turn to page 107. I can't chase that spider monster thing. I'm too ill, you tell Rachel and Mark. Let's go online to find a cure. Okay, Rachel nods. Which computer should we nab? Mark scans the room, searching for an empty computer station. Rachel shakes her head. Not out here, she says. I have a better place. Come on, I'll show you. Rachel leads you to a private room at the back of the diner. The room is locked, but she pulls out a key. They gave me my own special space, since I spend so much time here, Rachel explains, unlocking the door. I call it the Peach Pit. Wow, you think you just step into Rachel's own private world.
Peach Pit is a very sexual term for a computer room.
Yeah.
I can only imagine she's actually pointing at her crotch when she says it. Ooh, body parts.
Cool, Mark exclaims, gazing at the wild room. The walls of the Peach Pit are painted in shades of, you guessed it, peach.
Okay, there you go.
The swirling mass in shades of pink and orange. The colours spiral round and round on the walls. Kind of psychedelic, isn't it? Rachel asks you and Mark. Yeah, you answer weakly. You don't tell her, it makes you even more sick to your stomach. We're there, like, sweating bullets. Just groggy, looking like we're 3 steps away from death. Go, this is nice, Rachel. I like the decor.
Nice psychedelic room. Yeah, what's, is there any computers in here?
Well, you head straight for the huge computer monitor.
Yes, apparently there are.
It's the size of a giant screen TV. Below it, on a high-tech metal desk, is a computer itself, and a keyboard. More cool stuff is dangling from the ceiling. Joysticks, headsets, goggles, visors. All the stuff of virtual reality games. They're bouncing and dangling on colourful elastic cords. Rachel points at Mark, then at a chair. You sit, she orders, so you won't be in our way. Then she grabs a set of hand controls and a visor and tosses them to you. You stand beside me. We're going online, into the virtual internet. Put on your gear.
This is the cool ending.
Yes! Yes! I'm fist pumping in real life at this. Oh my god. What's the virtual internet, you ask? It's just the normal internet, Rachel explains. But with this equipment of mine, it feels like you're actually walking or surfing the websites. See?
Oh, get on a cable. Yes. Come on.
Wow. When you put on the equipment, you do see. It looks and feels as if you've actually stepped into a different world. Coloured paths and signs surround you. You feel as if you're standing on a giant quilt, except the quilt is made of websites.
Did it say that?
It says that.
Fucking brilliant.
I'm not making that up. It kind of takes your mind off being ill. All you have to do is point to something, Rachel says, and we can go there. But we can get there faster if we walk. Walk, you repeat. Yeah, walk, you know, move your feet, Rachel says impatiently. See if you can remember how to walk on page 68. I'm stunned by Phil's even standing on a quilt made out of websites.
Oh, you pull the quilt over your head and rest your weary head on a pillow made out of banner ads.
It's easy, you hear Rachel's voice. Just walk on the spot. Okay, you think it's up to move your feet one in front of the other. As soon as you start moving, the view in your visor changes. It's as if you're walking through the websites. This is so cool, you exclaim. You and Rachel begin walking through grassy green countryside. You pass a mailbox standing by the side of the road. You see a letter inside, addressed to you. It's your email, you realise. Hey, look, you call to Rachel. I've got mail. You crane your neck as you bend over and reach into the mailbox. Watch out, Rachel warns. There's a man. Too late. A heavy hand falls on your shoulder. You jump and whirl around. It's a man wearing an old-fashioned black cloak with a hood.
Is it a security protocol?
The hood falls. You gasp. His face is horrible. It's a white mass of rotting flesh.
Uh-oh.
What's going on? You leap back from the hideous man. Your heart pounds. I forgot to warn you, Rachel says. This is Coffin City. It's only a computer game. It can't hurt you. But we have to pass through it to get to where we're going. Just run. Your heart beats even faster as you race behind Rachel through the Coffin City game. You pass a skeleton with, like... Okay, so for a man with who's written books like Monster Blood and Revenge of the Purple Peanut Butter, was Coffin City the best he could come up with?
Revenge of the Purple Peanut Butter?
That was one of the other Give Yourself Goosebumps books.
Brilliant.
You pass a skeleton with long blonde hair, a rotting dead man with a powdery white face. It's just a game, you tell yourself. I'm not really here. But then a really mean-looking teenager with tattoos on both arms swings a chain at you.
Well, I am definitely here. The world's... Yeah. The surely when in the virtual real world, the rules of being in that world apply. That chain can whip me dead.
Exactly. You hear the whoosh as it misses your head by a centimetre. I'm going to get you, Rachel, the kid yells. You and your friend are dead meat. Oh no, Rachel grabs your arm. Let's go, she urges, sounding scared. They don't call him Crusher for nothing. Oh. Come on, we can hide in the grave. Maybe you'd rather forget this whole sick adventure. Maybe you'd rather just go back and check your email. So you can either check our email and leave this place, or you can, I guess, press X to hide in a mass grave.
That's the button prompt. I will never not press X to hide in a mass grave. Good home, good home front reference there.
Thank you. You follow Rachel into the graveyard, but you're not happy about it. Run, faster, Rachel calls, waving her arms for you to keep up. The empty graves are over there. She dashes down the middle of a long row of gravestones. The ground around the graves bulges up. Ignore it, Rachel calls. The corpses underneath are programmed to toss and turn in their graves. It's just part of the game. Some game, you close your eyes, but it's pretty hard to run that way. You stumble and fall to one knee. Then something reaches out and grabs you by the ankle. Uh-oh. Learn more about your grave situation on page 15.
Yeah. Go on, let's turn to that page.
You stare down at a wormy, bony arm. It's a corpse, all right, and it's trying to pull you into a grave. Thinking fast, you drop down and roll, twisting the bones. The corpse lets go, just long enough for you to jump up and leap away. You're safe. Got you now, a horrible voice snarls behind you. You whirl. Crusher! Now it's my turn, he says. I'm not some weak, bony skeleton. I'm going to get you good. Why is this awful teenager chasing after us?
And why does it know Rachel by name? She's been in this world a few times before.
Ooh.
She's got some backstory in here.
You're curious, but now you figure now is not the time to ask why Crusher wants to hurt you. Now is the time to take off. So that's what you do. You run as fast as you can. Rachel's up ahead. She's made it nearly to the edge of the cemetery. But Crusher is closing in on you. You pour on the speed. Soon you've caught up with Rachel. Rachel grabs your arm and runs towards a huge glass office building. Now what, you ask? Where are you taking me? Rachel doesn't answer. She simply drags you towards the glass wall. Wait, there's no door, you cry. Are you going to crash? Plaudic, Rachel yells. A door suddenly appears in the glass side of the building. Whoa! That's the password, Rachel explains. We're safe now. Get it? Password, like a computer thing?
Fuck. Fuck this. Fuck everything.
Safe where, you demand. Where are we? You gaze around the huge room. It's filled with computer stations. A bunch of kids work keyboards and mouses, staring at their monitors. It's a hacker's forum, Rachel explains. A bunch of my friends hang out there. One of them made the antidote program I was telling you about. It's supposed to cure any virus. I think he's our best shot at fixing you up. Great, you say. Though I do feel pretty good right now. Rachel, something to you. You do look better. Hey, maybe it was all that running. Maybe you'll need a little exercise. Do you like to surf? Totally. Totally, you love shooting the curls.
Oh, fuck this.
Just thinking about it makes you feel even better. Maybe you should have some fun. Then again, maybe you should stick to the plan. So you can either search for Rachel's friend, or you can literally surf the net.
This is... When you started telling me the concept of this book, I wouldn't be I knew I wouldn't be happy unless I did a literal representation of surfing the net.
Mm.
I knew it was going to happen, and I'm not going to pass up the opportunity, this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, to do that. I'm going to surf the net.
Well, of course. Surf, definitely, you reply. It's the best idea you've heard since you became ill. Okay, Rachel says, we'll surf first, but be sure to meet me back here when I tell you. I still think we should find my friend and talk to him. Rachel clicks her mouse. A surfboard suddenly appears, floating in front of you. Another one appears in front of Rachel. Hop on, she instructs. We can really move through the internet on these things. Zeitgeist firmly struck here by the author.
We can really click on some hyperlinks with these babies.
Wowee. You jump on the surfboard. Within seconds, you're zooming over waves of computer information, on crests of website, and over a sea of programs and databases and files. It's weird. In your mind, you know this is only a visual trick. You're really standing in the peach pit, but you don't care about what's real. You love it. The images are so real, you totally forget about being ill. You cut sideways to catch another wave to another website. Okay, fun's over. Let's get going. In a minute, you call back to her. I just want to catch this next wave.
It's the CNN website up ahead. Whoa!
Whoa!
MSNBC!
There's a gif of the dancing baby over here.
Fucking hell.
You catch the next wave and the next. You're so focused, you don't hear Rachel nagging you to get back. Hours go by. Finally, you feel someone snatch the virtual reality gear off your face. Hey, who did that? You stare blankly at a tall red-headed girl. Who are you anyway? Oh, brother. A wavy-haired kid standing next to the girl moans out loud. Total lobotomy. Yep, the girl agrees, shaking her head. No brains left at all. The boy leads you home. He introduces you to some people he calls your parents. He tells them a long confusing story about spider monsters and a computer virus. The parents show you to a computer station and leave you sitting there. You stare at the monitor for days on end. You can't remember what it's for, though every now and then you get the urge to wrap it in a shimmering spider's web. You love crawling on the web. The end.
Ugh. Oh dear. That's a cautionary tale for surfing too much on the web there. Do you know what? I reckon Rachel is Tub Girl. She's...
This is the Tub Girl origin story.
It is, yeah. That's why that guy with the chain was trying to chase her down. You've ruined the internet for a lot of people, Tub Girl.
I think we should probably call it there because we've been going for too long. There's one more ending that I want to get through. I don't know how we even get to this. It must be like talking to Rachel's cool hacker friends. But we end up finding the Goosebumps website.
No!
You start walking through one website after another, trying to find the Goosebumps homepage. The only problem is, you don't know how to use the virtual internet. You left Rachel behind, so you have no guide. Do you have any idea how vast the internet is? Thousands and thousands of websites, tens of thousands of files, millions of bits of information. Trying to find the Goosebumps website without a guide, without the address, without a search engine, it's hopeless. On the other hand, if you close this book and open it again to any random page, you have some chance of reaching a happy ending. Maybe you'd better try that, because right now you're lost in cyberspace, and when you're lost in space, you never ever come to the end. Right, surely there should be some way to just, like, you know, take off the VR helmet.
Nope.
Just...
Not an option. If you take off the VR helmet without logging off properly, the snap back to reality will drive you insane.
Hmm. Whereas being trapped in millions of websites is perfectly fine for your sanity. Like, that's basically how Sliders happens, isn't it? Just walking through all these different websites trying to find something that might seem like home.
Yes, and basically every time you visit a website, it's popping into a different quantum leap body too.
Yeah. This book was weird.
It wasn't, say, the best book, but it was a good insight into how people just tried to be cool in the 90s.
Yeah. Oh, there's another bit. Okay. This is one more ending I want to read through. Before Mark or Rachel can answer, an ugly beast of a dog appears on your screen, and the screen begins to bulge out. Grrr. As it hits its way off the monitor, the dog becomes monster size. He tricked us, Rachel cries. Digit wizard tricked us. The dog opens its mouth wider than you thought possible. You're about to learn the real meaning of the word...
eaten by a dog.
Megabyte.
Oh, fuck you.
Alright, so that was It Came From the Internet by R.L. Stine. We saw quite a few good... I'm not going to say good endings, but we saw quite a few endings in that one.
It was all endings.
Yeah.
Had as many endings as the spider beast had tentacles.
What did you think of that? Let's give it a book report.
I like the structure of it. I was surprised at how weirdly it veered off. Because when I was sort of like looking at things like Citadel of Chaos, it's kind of the shape of the book is it billows out, then contracts to another bottleneck. Well, that was just like a mad tree going everywhere. So I enjoyed that.
Yes.
It's much more replayable, I'd say.
Mm.
But unfortunately,
I was going to say, the Give Yourself Goosebumps books and Choose Your Adventure books are kind of similar in that they've both quite shallow, but very varied, whereas the Fighting Fantasy books are very dense.
Mm.
There's a long story, but there's less, I don't want to say less variety, but that you can go off the beaten path a lot less in those. If you've got something in mind.
It feels like the diversity of sort of what can go on in a Final Fantasy book is always more illusory.
I think one of my favourite things about having you on the podcast is how you keep accidentally saying Final Fantasy or Final Fantasy has just said that.
Did I say Final Fantasy then?
You said Final Fantasy.
Well, that's all the words in once.
There you go.
You can't be wrong if you've just said all the words compounded into a single mess of syllable.
And if only there was a Fighting Fantasy book where he played as a spiky-haired anime teenager, I say looking directly into the camera. Well, stay tuned for that because I'm going to be putting a video together soon about some books. Basically, friend of the show, I think he is... I need to find his Twitter account. Also, I interrupted you, sorry. You wanted to talk about something you were saying earlier. I feel really bad about that.
I have no idea. Carry on with what you were saying.
Let me find his name. Matthew Powell, who is a cool dude, lives in Japan. Have you seen those Japanese re-releases of the Fighting Fantasy books where they've redone all the art on the cover to have spiky anime teenagers on them?
No.
At Final Matt on Twitter, Matthew Powell is such a nice person that he has sent me a few of these books. And the best thing about them is that all the page numbers on the inside are the same as well. So all the page notation, you turn to them and they all make the same sense. But they've redone all the illustrations on the inside and they are so good. I just really want to share them with the beautiful people they have listening to the show. So I'm going to do a video about that at some point in the future. So there you go. Yeah.
Sounds great. I can't imagine it. I've just been Googling Final Fighting Fantasy, and there's something on Newgrounds about it, but I'm sure it's not what you're talking about.
No. Let me find it quickly, just for you. I've got... I don't have Deathstrap Dungeon yet, but I do have Sword of the Sorcerer and... No, Sword of the Samurai and House of Hell. I've just sent you the link on Skype.
Oh, nice. Yeah, it's got it.
Yeah. And what the original cover for Deathstrap Dungeon, it's got the horrible blood beast on it, covered in eyes.
Yes, yes.
An anime babe with a big sword and a bikini.
I'm just trying to work out if those characters are actually in that book.
They are actually in the book. The main difference between these books, one of the main differences is they actually give the main character, they show you what the character looks like instead of just having them be an anonymous person who is a stand-in for you. They're
the faceless protagonist.
Whereas the difference is in these books, you play as a protagonist with big titty.
Nice. Oh dear. I think Gamergate approved.
Oh. I didn't see anything wrong with it. I'm super happy about these books that have been sent to me, and I can't wait to go through them.
They look good.
Yeah. Any other thoughts about the Goosebumps thing?
No, I'm probably going to try and get my hands on a few and read them myself because they're just... I quite like the way they go. And I love how just badly written they are, in a good way.
Well, we've covered a few. if you look on the website, then I've tagged all the episodes, and there's also a big master list with all the other book titles as well, so you can search through all the Goosebumps books on there and find out for yourself. I think that's probably it. Marks out of 5 for the book?
Oh, absolute easy 5.
Yeah, of course. I wasn't too sure about the computer virus coming out of the computer and biting us, but then we literally surfed the net, and I was happy. If I could give this 6 stars out of 5, I would, but I won't break my own rules.
I'm glad that we carried on playing until we got to surf the net. I honestly thought it was just... for the first half of this podcast, I was a little bit downhearted about it, but...
Prattling around in the city, yeah.
More than redeemed itself.
Definitely, yeah. 5 stars out of 5. Thanks to everybody for listening, and super big thanks to everybody that came to the live show. You really helped pull it all out of the bag, and like some of the people that have been listening since day dot, I think, and like that was really cool just to like have everybody there on hand, and like I just really like doing the live shows so I can meet up with people again. Probably not going to be doing another one for about another 6 months, maybe around October. Can't think of any big events that happen in October, but oh well. Wink.
Oh, are you gonna do it in my pub?
Would you like me to do it in your pub?
Yeah, do it in my pub.
All right, Game City, here we go.
Sweet.
I'm probably not going to set up the Eventbrite for a few more months but there we go. I'm probably doing another one of these things for Game City in October at the King Billy in Nottingham, so fill your boots. Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Just come to my pub and have a nice drink and see me say hello. And also, the regular features podcast is also is worth a listen, I find.
Yeah. If you like drinking, go to the King Billy in Nottingham. If you like laughing, listen to regular features. If you like me, then why not go to patreon.com/adventurepod, and there you can pledge a little bit of money for each episode, and that will come straight back to me so I can make the podcast better in any way that I see fit.
Sweet.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.